Good morning and welcome, everyone, to Live Dharma Sunday. This is Reverend Koyo Kubose here, and I'm so glad you joined us and hope that all is well with you. You know, this is a very festive holiday season, and yet it's also hectic and this can be stressful time. And I was reminded of a nice quote that messages to have some, always have balance. And when something like, in the midst of hecticness, you should always be your calm center, you know, be calm and centered. And when at rest, you should still be dynamically alert. So I thought that was nice. And during hectic times, I think sometimes we might, it's right during the hectic times when we need our mindfulness. And unless we have a strong practice behind our teachings, that's when we'll forget, you know, the Dharma. It's when things get hectic. And I think, you know, our breath is a tremendous mindfulness spiritual tool. It's always with us, always very handy, accessible. And to take a breath and calm down during hectic times and taking a nice breath definitely has physiological effects too, you know. And you do the belly breathing, diaphragmic breathing, that's the natural kind of breath. When you see babies sleeping, the bellies are going in and out. Nature, you know, that's a natural breath. Instead of putting your shoulders up and sometimes you say, take a deep breath. We don't do belly breathing. You know, it's a relaxed breathing. And I think scientific studies have shown that there's definite physiological effects when associated with this diaphragmic breathing. And of course, I think in the spiritual realm, yogic or yoga traditions, there's a science of breathing that dovetails with the spirituality of it. And in the traditions of spirituality or the spirit, the breath of life, life is breathed into us, and breath has a significance about life itself. And there's a lot that can be, we can learn from the teachings of using, empowering our breath. So when things get hectic, shopping or whatever, even getting together with family can be stressful in a good way. And yet they call it eustress, E-U stress. It's a good stress, but nevertheless, you know, sometimes during vacations and stuff that things get hectic. Take a breath. Well, for this morning's Dharma Glimpse, we have a guest, Jeff Wayo Ward of Jonesboro, Arkansas. And he completed our lay ministry program this past May of 2010. And we'd like to ask Jeff Wayo Sensei for a Dharma Glimpse.
I think too often we get caught up in the daily grind. We forget or we lose track of the fact that the Dharma is everywhere if we allow ourselves to see it. I was reminded of this little fact the other day. It started as a very typical morning. I dragged around the house, got myself prepped, got out the door and on my way to work. Amid the early morning traffic, I will admit my mind was much more on the coffee waiting for me at work than it was on the Dharma. I was southbound on the highway. I fell in behind a big rig whom I thought was going a little too fast for this early in the morning. And there I was, you know, traveling behind it. And as I stared at this truck in front of me, I suddenly noticed just a little peculiar trick of the light. The panels of the trailer this rig was pulling, they must have been painted with some kind of highly reflective red paint, because the sun, which had you know, just completely broken the horizon, dawn had just passed. The light from the sun was causing a sort of the rig to cast a warm glow on the asphalt on the eastern side and a long shadow on the west. As my mind noticed this contrast, light and dark, I realized there it was, a Dharma lesson was right in front of me. This is kind of what I came to was when we turn ourselves into the dawn of the Buddha's wisdom and compassion, we reflect a loving warmth on everything around us. If we turn away from the Dharma and the wisdom, we can start to bring about a shadow. I think another element I saw in this truck was in this play regarding light and dark in the truck. The glow and the shadow, they were being cast by the same object, the truck. It made me think, you know, it's important to remember we cannot completely ignore or deny those human foibles, anger, frustration, greed, etc. Those are things that are part of being human. What we can learn to do, though, is just accept them. By accepting them and a little judicial application of the Dharma, we can find ourselves transcending them. In conclusion, that morning drive is something I have come to call truck Dharma. It's everywhere around us if we just see it. Open our eyes, and it'll be in every little thing we see. And that's what I wanted to share with everyone. So thank you all for listening.
Well, thank you. I was kind of reminded, you know, Wayo, his Dharma name, Yo is the sun, dawn, and Wa, this Wa is peace. So his Dharma name is Peaceful Sun. And he said that during his college days, he was a peacenik, always had peace symbols all over himself and so forth. And I thought, you know, this is the season when there's the refrain of peace on earth, goodwill towards all. Very good sentiments that sometimes gets lost, of course, we say, in all the consumerism and hecticness. But I think that in the background, that it's important that message is there in this season. My Dharma talk today, I was reading an article written by a friend of mine, Reverend Marvin Harada, of the Orange County Buddhist Church, and he was reflecting on pet memorials. Last so many 10 years ago or so, it became popular for temples and churches to have a Sunday service, memorial service for pets. Became very popular and raised our awareness of this, and tapped into something that was needed. People would bring pictures of the loved pets that had passed away, and because pet owners, they're really, for their pets, are really part of the family. And so animals, any kind of life forms that someone wants to remember, you know, it's a time that we can do that. And then Reverend Marvin says that he's extending this to all the life forms that we eat. We eat teriyaki chicken, all the steaks, the steers, the cows that become his steak. And so when he was thinking about this service, Pet Memorial, he was doing some rough calculations in his mind about what we human beings, how much we consume in our life. And he said that, gee, suppose you have chicken 3 times a week in various forms, teriyaki chicken, chicken salad, chicken nuggets. Say in 20 years' time, that would add up to about 2,000 chickens. If you eat beef a couple of times a week, well, in 10 years, it could add up to about over 700 pounds, maybe the equivalent of one whole steer. Probably we consume a lot more than, you know, his calculations. Then he says, some might challenge all this by saying, well, hey, I'm a vegetarian. I don't eat meat or fish. He says, well, just because you're vegetarian doesn't mean you aren't taking life to live. I'm sure that a carrot was perfectly happy growing in the ground and gets jerked out of its home to become our salad. Someone could argue that further and say, hey, I don't even eat vegetables. I eat just grain, like sunflower seeds, rice, wheat, grains. But hey, this too is also taking life, isn't it? A grain of rice is a potential rice plant. If you eat a grain of rice, then it's like eating an egg that never gets to grow to full maturity. Reverend Marvin says that one of his favorite movies is Saving Private Ryan, starring Tom Hanks. And this is about a D-Day during World War II, and a group of soldiers led by Tom Hanks are sent on a mission to find one particular soldier, Private Ryan, played by Matt Damon. Now, Private Ryan has lost 3 other brothers in the war, but he doesn't know it. But the Army has decided that they should find Private Ryan and get him home before he becomes a casualty. This would be too much of a tragic loss for the mother and the family to lose all 4 sons in the war. So Tom Hanks and his soldiers, that's their task, to find and save Private Ryan. And they do find him, even though it's like, you know, very difficult, like finding a needle in a haystack amidst the chaos of the war. The final scene of the movie is very dramatic. Tom Hanks is wounded and utters his dying words to this young Private Ryan. And he doesn't know exactly what's going on, and he doesn't want to leave his fellow soldiers and so forth. But he says, no, you have to be saved. And then he says, but you have to earn it, earn it. That's his last words, Tom Hanks, to Private Ryan. A lot of soldiers have died to find Private Ryan, and Tom Hanks is saying, you should live your life in a manner that earns what all the others have done to sacrifice their lives to save you. Earn it. So Reverend Marvin says, gee, what if all these cows and chickens and fish and vegetables that I have consumed could say something to me? They might say the same thing. Earn it. Do something with your life that makes it worthy of what so many have sacrificed for you. And he says, some of the animals might even be upset. They might say, hey, why'd I have to give my life for that guy? Look at him. He plays golf, watches TV, goes to Vegas. What do I have to die for him for? What a waste. When you think about it, I could never repay even one animal for their sacrifice in making my life possible. How could I ever repay thousands of lives? The only thing I can do, like Private Ryan, is to live in a manner that even in a small way earns the sacrifices and lives of so many. I must live and do something that contributes to life instead of just mindlessly simply taking from it. I must earn it. And so the article is concluded like that. And I think that's a tremendous sentiment, you know. It's not just, when we think about gratitude, when we consume all our holiday meals of festiveness and enjoy the food, and we say, thank you for this, even when we're mindful enough to say, I'm grateful, how grateful I am to this food, in a sense that's sort of selfish or self-centered and shallow in a way. Even though, of course, it's much better than not being aware of being grateful. But having empathy for that lives are being taken, you know. When you might, it's not the point, the literal point of a carrot doesn't care if it gets eaten or gets pulled out of the ground. That's not the point. The point is one's own awareness, you know, empathy for the other, for life that's being taken so that I could live. Empathy, you know, means feeling what others, the other would, might feel like. Okay. Having that kind of communication with, from internal to external, from the inside to the outside. Live your life from the inside to the outside. That's a nice kind of projection to do. Huh? That's a spiritual practice, that empathy. Okay. Bumping into a table and saying, excuse me. Respecting that table. It's not because, that table, what are you doing? Talking to a table, inanimate object. That's not the point. So having the empathy. So then you feel, there's a sadness or sorrow that, gee, lives have to be taken for me to live. There's a sadness at the core of thankfulness and gratitude. You know, and I think that's much a deeper feeling. And you can't just wallow in the sadness then. Then that gives you some deeper power and commitment, you know, sincerity in your own life to say, then I must earn it. Well, at least I could do that. So, well, that's all for today's broadcast. I appreciate everyone tuning in. It's a nice way to start out Sunday morning. We put our hands together in oneness and we take a nice breath. We thank our guest, Wayo Sensei, for his truck dharma. And I thank all of you for joining us. And as always, have a beautiful day.